Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, the Runnin' Rev, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. Y'all, this is a special episode about to come up. I have a special guest. He is Dat Frenchie. He is Ziggy Overlord. He is the giver of the best hugs ever. It is Chris Elliott, my good friend, right from here at Run Simo, the local run club here in Portsmouth, Virginia. This was such a treat to be able to get him on, to have this conversation as we explore and unpack what he is doing, his running journey, and what community has meant for it. And so this honestly is such a great conversation because having Chris come on, having Chris talk about his journey, you know, it's not often that you really get to like dive deep into what's happening with your friends. I mean, we have conversations all of the time, but this is one where we just dive into this understanding, this idea, this concept of community. So let's hop into this episode. All right, welcome in. How you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, man. It is it's a beautiful day. I mean, even right before we got on here, it sounds like you already got your run in today. So you've ticked that box off the list, or checked that box, man. Woo! It is definitely the afternoon as Chris and I are recording, but welcome in, Chris. Let's get started where we start with just about every guest. Let's hear from you. What is your community and what makes it awesome?
Well, I guess I would tell you probably first word I would say I thought about it was evolving from the standpoint of I've been running for quite a while, but it was only about a year ago. My girlfriend introduced me to the fine folks at MOMAC, Run Some Mo in Portsmouth. And I was like, who gets together and runs? You know, because before that, I loved running. But for me, I've always said it was about kind of emptying my head. And it was just kind of a solo practice. I'm never going to set anybody's speed records. I just kind of got out there and did my own thing and was quite happy with it. But no, the last year, it has changed radically. You know, I've learned and gained much from everybody, and you find that everybody's got a space, you know, I mean, on a group like that. Like I say, there's marathon competitors in that group and walkers, and I'm somewhere in between, but it's been great.
Yeah. And so, you know, you talk about being a runner before you come into this run community space. And then, you know, your girlfriend, Lisa, who we both know, comes and invites you to run club. What did you notice about your own relationship with running as you entered sort of the communal aspect of running?
Well, I think it's that, you know, we live in the information age, right? I mean, we all walk around with, you know, these devices in our pockets that give us access to the world's information. You know, if you can think of the question somebody probably before you has, and they've recorded it somewhere. All that's to say, though, that, you know, for years, I can remember having certain questions and, you know, about running and thinking like, okay, maybe I'm doing something wrong, or just, you know, like I say, we're human, we're just inherently inquisitive and wondering. And I didn't make any kinds of connections or solve problems, if you will. I mean, personally, as far as, you know, running and could I improve? I had a friend here or there that, you know, was well-versed in the sport, you know, ran in high school and the like. I was not a runner in high school. But joining with, you know, with the MOMAC crew has been a whole other experience, because like I say, again, somewhere in there from the marathon competitors to the walkers, I have learned so much. You know, Lisa, who you mentioned, was one of the first ones who said something to me about like, well, have you thought about intervals? I mean, I know what the word interval meant, but I didn't realize what it related to running. I didn't realize, you know, like I say, first time I did a half marathon, I kind of went at it and just did it. And I ran, and it was okay. And when I did my first marathon, you know, I thought I was going to be about crippled by the end, but I went into that one too without any preparation. And like I said, that was pre Run Some Mo, and it has totally changed my approach to the whole thing. And like I say, I think also just even the support of people, you know, they encourage you, you know, sometimes maybe the same failures, fears, or questions that that, you know, may arise in your own head, you realize, oh, there's probably other people out there that, like I say, for all the information we're surrounded with, at the end of the day, nothing really replaces the people connection. And when you get that live interaction and you see, I don't know, there's just something organic about seeing, you know, or not just hearing the suggestions and advice and encouragement from your friends, but also, like I say, you know, visually seeing it, receiving that information. It's just, it's a whole other level that, like I say, you can't do it by yourself.
And so, I mean, as myself, a leader of a run club, and you sort of an attendee, someone who comes to our run club very often, you know, I think it's an interesting conversation to have as you look at it. Because from my advantage, from my vantage point, it is people are coming in and they are experiencing what I am offering. I don't get that opportunity necessarily at RunSumo. I can do it in other places to just attend. So as you came into this community and you started to attend, what have been the big points that you have taken away? You know, you talk about learning about speed work, learning about these, you know, a little tiny things that kind of help your run journey along. But what are some of those other aspects that are that you're beginning to learn about as your run journey is now incorporated and a part of the run journey of an entire community that is surrounding you?
Well, okay. So for example, if you had asked me, say 10 years ago to see somebody running, I'm not saying I would have been one of the people to be like, they're crazy, but you know, admittedly, if you were probably being, you know, totally honest, I might've said to somebody, maybe I'm a little intimidated because I can't understand these people that are out running in the rain, or if it's 95 degrees outside in July, or it's 28 degrees in January, and they're out doing this thing. And, you know, you look at them and you're going, I don't even understand, you know, and then think, well, what kind of a physicality, what kind of metal, if you will, do they have to persist and do these things? Because I'd look at that and go, I wouldn't do half of the things in my life with this kind of consistency or intensity. And I guess I found it a little off-putting, if not, you know, intimidating. And then as I got into it, by myself for, you know, a number of years, I definitely saw some benefits as far as for my own physical health. And I, like I say, even mental health. I mean, I think running has helped me empty my head tremendously, but to the intimidation factor, but like I say, if I'm being honest, I think that was the thing I felt for a certain number of years, to get out there and see, you know, other people that, like I say, at varying ages, that's the other thing I love about it. Realize there's people out there, you know, I'm a guy who's pushing 50, but I'm in a group with people that are running around in their, you know, 20s. And I got people out there that are probably in their 60s or more. I see them. Mm-hmm. And again, competitors all the way down to walkers. And none of them are walking around with placards. Nobody has been, you know, any kind of a braggart or anything, but you realize in that own group, you know, I talked to a guy a few weeks ago who was getting ready to go run a marathon, and this particular one didn't go so well for him. It turns out it was like his seventh, you know, I'm going, yeah. Oh my God, you know, but that's also a metaphor for life, man. You know, I mean, you know, none of the greats ever just had success after success after success. You know, each one of the successes was probably baked in, you know, with three or four failures before. And like I say, to have a cross section of, you know, your local community, the population. And like I say, you know, you see the demographic, you know, the ages and the backgrounds and the careers, and you realize, you know, I mean, there's military guys in there and, you know, that are peak physical fitness and retired firefighters, you know what I mean? It just covers, or former teachers, you know, it's just everything. And everybody seems to have, you know, this myriad of experiences that if you get right down to it and you do it long enough, you probably realize like they felt it too. And so it's just nice to be in that proximity to it and realize, you know, that, yeah, we get together on Tuesdays and get to do it and Saturdays and what have you. But you know, how many times a week do you still get out there and just do the thing? But I'd be lying if I didn't say to you that I don't think about the things that I've discussed with them, or, you know, people give you the, you know, the encouragements in Strava and the like, and it's always the same people. And it does help. You know, I think it's what gets you up, you know, some mornings when you're like, maybe today I can take it off. And usually by, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, I'm like, no, I can't. It drives a lot.
No. And it sounds like there is this relatability. You know, I think Mike talked about it when I had him on, is like, in some ways we are all on the same journey. Misery loves company. And So what a, you know, when we think about that, you know, folks, listeners of the podcast, you know, you've heard Mike's story. Mike is a part of this run club. Chris, I mean, of course, is a part of this run club. I'm a part of this run club. So thinking about all these different people, and I mean, even just in the three of us, You know, then tossing in, you know, Lisa, Jen, Richard, you know, all these other people who are just at so many different levels, abilities, everything. What then makes running with this community so relatable? Because one of the things I notice when I go to run clubs is there are the run clubs that run together, and they have their own little like being of community. And then you have run clubs like we have, where we don't necessarily all run together. We start together. And then we're there when everybody finishes. So what in that sort of environment, like what makes that running relatable to one another? Like, how are you seeing your running journey with Mike's running journey, with my running journey? Like, what is it that's relatable to each and every one of us?
Well, so that's the thing too. I think there's this just almost, you know, quiet energy, if you will, amongst all the people that regardless of who we are, what we're doing, we are on the same journey from the standpoint of, you know, like I say, speaking of Mike, I mean, there's a guy that, you know, I couldn't keep up with him on a bike probably if I was to go do a marathon with him. But, you know, at the same time, I've logged two marathons in the last year, signed up for the third. And I think that, you know, being around people like him and other like-minded people in the group, you know, that we realize that, you know, whether we are qualifying for something or we're just ponying up the money for the run that weekend, you know, we want to see ourselves get better. And, you know, you can see it in them too, that you want them to be better, but you feel it back from them. They're like, you know, they're pulling for you. They're like, oh, you got this. And like I say, you know, maybe we don't all get out there and run together. Which that part I think I kind of like too, you know, because again, there's going to be somebody in there that's going to go run a 6-minute mile consistently for as long as they want. And then there's me who won't. But like I say, we all seem to have a really good time, you know, as we get back at the brewery. And it, you know, it's, and oddly enough, in those moments, it was never about like, well, how was that run? You know, we all just did it. You know, we've done it before. I mean, the places and whatnot we're familiar with, but I think it's a collective recognition of, you know, the importance of not just the run itself and the benefits and continuing, but it's almost like friendly accountability. You know, we're all there. We all see it. We all see each other, you know, and invariably it's talked about, you know, well, what'd you do recently or what's coming up? So there's always the conversation always seems to, like I say, continue to drive, you know, that push to get out there and see, you know, what can you do better? Like I say, I have never felt, for example, with any of them, anybody there that, oh, I'm in direct competition with, you know, anybody, you know, Mike. That's not the issue, but I do draw on, you know, the camaraderie of it and realizing like we're all doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like I say, I won't get a taste of anybody's podium or bracket or anything else, but I mean, I love it. You know, it just keeps me going.
Yeah. And I think that there's something to be said about not always feeling like we have to chase the fastest, the strongest, the best. You know, that level of competition that comes with it, but that the communal aspect, the communal heart of running often resides within that shared journey. I mean, I love that word. I love that phrase, friendly accountability, where we can gather together and, you know, I get back from my, you know, whatever I run, you get back from whatever you run. You know, we each have our beers, we're each hanging out, we're each sitting. And it's lifting up, you know, okay, what made that run hard? What made that run fun? What, you know, all of these different things as we're unpacking what is happening within our running journeys. And so, you know, let's look at that running journey because, you know, one of the things that it seems like you're very sort of centered on is it's not a competition and there isn't a comparison. But to say, look at what my body can do and look at, you know, what I, Chris Elliott at X years old, you know, can accomplish when I set my mind to it. And let's, you know, look at those marathons that you've accomplished and some of those things that you've been through as you've journeyed to do those marathons. So how many marathons have you run so far?
Two.
And you got a few more planned. I know we've talked about it. And so, you know, as you're looking back at these last two, kind of knowing your journey, it's one that you kind of did before this whole sort of big boom and coming in, and then the Shamrock this last year. And so as you look at what you did in both of those marathons, you know, What are some similarities? What are some differences? How did you experience both of those marathons?
Oh man, that for me, both of them, and they were both radically different in terms of time, just time overall. You know, I mean, I did demonstrably better time wise in the second one than I ever did in the first. I mean, quick backstory, I would say to you that, like I say, in high school, not a runner. I played a lot of high school lacrosse. And for anybody that doesn't know lacrosse, I played defense, which is to say I really only had to play half of the field, right? So my job was basically knock people down, get the ball and get it away and let the fast people take it down and score. And I can remember doing, runs during warmups, and usually the team captains would hang back and, the slowest people in the group, they'd crack you across the back of your calves with their lacrosse sticks and, shout at you something like slacker and stuff like that. So this is where I came from, my whole life going, well, okay, so I'm just not a runner. And it, like I say, it was about 10 years ago when I got into it. And even then, something like the 5K seemed, just impossible. And I did the whole couch to 5K thing. And when I did the first one of those, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I did, the 3.1 miles or whatever it is. And then as, the years have ticked by, there was a part of me that I said, well, I want to try the half. And so I signed up for the One City Half 2 years ago. I went in on a Friday. I bought an app, the Hal Higdon half marathon prep or something. A buddy of mine who's a longtime runner said, oh, he's the guy, he's the longtime, running guru. So, and I'll be honest with you, I never got around to doing it, which is partly me, if I don't write it down and execute, I just don't. So anyway, life happened and I just went in and did it. And when I did that in 22, I thought, okay, this wasn't so bad. So, basically I just got to do it again next year. If I do it twice, that's a marathon. And I started thinking, like, I can't imagine anybody who'd ever say Chris Elliott's a marathoner. Again, not that I was going to get any kind of land speed record, but just to complete one. Well, then another year clicks by and it's kind of a similar thing happened. So I walked into the thing over there in Newport News, a year ago, the Friday before we ran on Sunday, and signed up to run the One City Marathon. And I had no idea what it was going to be like going into it. I just knew they kept the course open for 7 hours, I believe. And I said, well, okay, if I can do it under six, we'll call that a goal. And so effectively, again, zero preparation. Before that, I'd run some 10Ks. Of course, I had the half marathon, and I really didn't prep anything for it. And so I crept across the finish line somewhere around 5 hours and 57 minutes, I think. And the feeling I had, again, knowing that I think there was only 40 people behind me at that point. I just felt like, oh my God, I cannot believe I did this. I grew up over there in Newport News. So it was kind of a thing to, literally run the streets from one end of the city to the other. But I just thought, that day I said to myself, well, I ran two, one of my friend's dads told me a while back, he's like, I ran a marathon once, but I really ran two. It was my first and last. And that first day I was like, yeah, I've done it. I'll check it off the box.
Yeah.
And then, at that point, this was, March of 23, I guess. I hadn't met Lisa yet. And when I met her and then she and I start running and we realized we had this mutual interest in it. And I see she shows me all these medals and the races she's won. And I was like, well, I don't understand. You've done the same thing over and over. Because I think at that point, I had done, like I say, 5K, 10K, half, mud run, and of course the One City Full.
What's the definition of insanity again?
Dear God. So yeah, now like in the last year, I've done a bunch of, a whole bunch of everything. Some we've done twice. And yeah. But what it led to was this year when I got to do the Shamrock. And I signed up for the whale challenge. So I ran the 8K on Saturday, was it? And then Sunday was the full. And I just was kind of having fun with it. But I mean, again, saw all you guys down there at the tents, both days, pictures and all the like, and just, I mean, what a great weekend. But again, crossing that finish line, my sister and her family come out every time I've done these marathons now. And my sister and I have always said, we sometimes maybe be a little bit hard, but my sister is like, I got to be honest with you, I got a little weak when you were coming across that finish line. She goes, I don't know what it is. And this year I think I got in closer to 5 hours, so I made huge improvement, but I mean, equal elation, man. And that's the part where I realize it's, that's the addictive part of it, if you will. It's like you say, you set your mind to do something, you're encouraged by a group of people. I've heard you say it. I've heard Mike say it, at the meeting sometimes going, you can do anything, your body will do way more than you ever give it credit for. And, maybe sometimes you need that outside endorsement or encouragement or push. And even on, some of the longer runs I've thought, I have that echoing in my head, like, it doesn't really feel this bad. Just keep going. And at the end, when you cross a finish line, one of those things, and it doesn't matter what the distance is, by the way, whatever you set the goal to and you do it, when you hit that finish line, Like I say, I'm of a certain age. So, I mean, I've had kids and graduations and all the like, and they are all fabulous, wonderful things. But finishing something that you've set your mind to like that, it is one of those top ranked feelings, I have to admit, that I've had in my life. And who would have thought, you know, like I say, without having made the effort and the attempt, I wouldn't have been able to know what it's really like. And now that I've done it, I look forward to it. I mean, over and over.
And so we look at this journey and kind of where it's come from, where it's gone, and where it's going. What is the support that, you know, I mean, you've talked a little bit about it, whether it's from the Run Club, whether it's from Lisa, whether it's from your family. But as you continue in this journey, what is that support that continues to fuel you? What are you continually looking for? Because I think the fear is that, you know, you start on this journey and you're doing it, and then over time it starts to fade away. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, we don't want to see that. We want to see Chris because friends, I need my hugs, my sweaty hugs on Tuesdays. So what is that support that you look for that continues to drive you forward, that continues to push you in this way? Because as a guy who, you know, said, I ran my two marathons, my first and my last. Now you've actually run two marathons and you've signed up for more.
Yeah.
And you continue to commit yourself to races. And so what is the support that is continuing to push you forward in this journey?
I think it comes from a myriad of places. I'll be honest with you. One of the things that has hit me a lot, I used to be a teacher, and they used to say, you know, in God we trust, all others bring data. Okay. So I'm kind of a data driven guy just by nature and by profession. And things I've seen in the last few years, the doctor's office, for example, you know, I go in once a year for the checkup. And I think two or three years ago, my doctor said, well, that's a runner's heartbeat. And I was like, excuse me. And you know, and they're looking at my stuff, and you know, we looked over Apple Watch data and stuff, and you know, I have a resting heart rate of somewhere below 60 beats a minute, and I was never, you know, a high blood pressure or cardiac patient, but you know, when she started digging through it, she's like, oh my gosh, she's like, your numbers are great. And you know, this last February, when I went in for this year's checkup, my doctor told me, he's like, you're aging in reverse. I have to be honest with you, that was an endorphin hit. I mean, again, older guy, so you know, maybe I get a little bit more excited about medical stuff, but you know, like I say, you reach a certain age and you realize that I'm getting a lot of friends out of it, which, like I say, again, a year ago, none of these people nor this community this wide did I know. But, you know, now it's not just the friendships and you know, the camaraderie of having, like I say, a bunch of like-minded people. It's what it's done for my life. Like I say, by any objective measure, it's made it better, you know, to have a doctor tell me I'm aging in reverse, to get the encouragement I get from you guys. And then I see it again in the data, two marathons, 1 year apart, and I shaved, you know, almost an hour off of it. And then it makes me be in the mindset now where for the third marathon that I have next April, you know, I have a goal now to get to that where I'm like, I think I could do 4:45, you know, starting to venture into domains that for me personally, I didn't think I would ever see. But like I say, ringing in the back of my mind is some of the things, you know, you guys have always said, and I've heard other people at the group say, you know, you can do anything you want. You just set your mind to it. Your body will come along. You just kind of have to will it. And that's the part for me that, like I say, the things that I get that, kind of motivate me, push me. And like I say, I think the benefits that I've gotten from it has been, like I say, it's the, you know, the smiles, the friendships, the objective data points, if you will, that I can see my life has changed, you know, demonstrably so. And I attribute a lot of it to that. And it transfers too to other things, you know, in life. You know, you realize, never would have thought I'd said something like this either, but it's like, you realize if you tell yourself, oh, I can't run a marathon, but then when you do, and you realize, I did do that, what else could I do? Yeah. And it changes, you know, everything, you know, what you do at work. You know, I don't know that there's something that I've faced at work that I'd be like, well, can't do that. I'll just figure it out. And, you know, like I say, give me a task. Tell me where I'm at and where you need me to get, and I'll figure a way. But I think it's like the running. Oh, 26.2. Well, how am I going to do it? My approach to that over the last year has changed radically from marathon one to marathon two, but it's just a mirror for life.
And so how have you noticed your like setting of goals? Like, what does that look like in this season of life? As you've experienced a lot of these other, not necessarily transitions, but transformations in your life, in conjunction with running, What has that meant for goal setting as you've sought to, you know, we always want to be striving towards something, whether it's a time, whether it's just an effort or whether it's to finish, no matter what it is. So what have you noticed about your goal setting, whether it's in running or life, as you've entered into this area?
Well, I think running writ large has made me think about goal setting and a lot of other things in my life. But as it relates to running, you know, the thing that I get about running is, again, that whole thing about data. Well, there's a lot of data to be gleaned when you start looking at it that way. And you start realizing that, you know, it isn't about, again, you're not out there competing with anybody but yourself. You're just out there to, you know, start to finish and just see if you can be a little better than you were the last time, maybe. And some days, you know, you come away from one and you're like, oh my God, that was the best experience ever. And there's been some other days where I was like, well, that was a fail. But, mm-hmm. you know, you keep trying, but you start looking at, you know, incremental ways and things you can do. And you realize even the little things all add up. And so, like I say, and I find new ways to kind of, you know, encourage myself. It's pushed me further, much to the chagrin of many. I wear an Apple Watch, for example, which the watch itself I hate, but the fitness portion of it, you know, Apple's got this thing every month, they issue fitness challenges. And if you get them, you get a digital badge. I mean, it's literally a nothing. But for some reason, that's been one over the last couple of years that every month I'm like, well, whatever it is, I'm going to do it. And you know, some present to be easier admittedly than others. And there's some months where I'm like, well, this is going to be a push. But I find things like that motivate me to, you know, want to hang my hat on something and be like, okay, I want to get there. I want to do that. And then, like I say, for the rest of the things in my life, it's helped me prioritize, you know, a lot and to see things a little bit more, in the long view, you know, to think, like I say, marathon's 26.2 miles, you know, when you line up at that start line, you are going to be there. I mean, even some of the fastest runners, you know, that are doing this in the, you know, 3 hour range, for example, that's 3 hours. You know, I mean, an American football game is an hour, and somebody is going to go out there and,
well, I mean, with commercials, it's about four.
I'm talking just playing time. You know what I mean? Or, like I say, you know, high school lacrosse days, you know, our games were, I think an hour long, if memory serves, and that could be fuzzy, but you know, I mean, so we played hard for an hour. And to sit here and think, you know, even a pretty good marathon runner is going to go out there and vigorously work themselves for 3 hours. Yeah. You know, and you start to realize, you know, people can do a great many hard things. They probably just don't give themselves the credit for. But I'd say to anyone who wanted to give it a go, yeah, try it. I mean, you obviously don't start with the marathon, but you would be surprised what you can do. And then those little incremental things add up. And then you start to see it in other things in life. You know, like I say, project planning in my work, you know, a lot of times now I start to think about it like probably in no different ways than I think now about how I'm going to prepare for the next marathon or something. You just start compartmentalizing and realizing, okay, I can do this and I've got this amount of time and this is how I'll accomplish it. It's a relatable view, I guess, if you will, on things that, you know, the way you can kind of prep. And again, not that the prepping has to be done. It's you versus you, you know, you're not running, you know, NCAA rules. And this isn't a, you know, you're not a Kipchoge or somebody who's competing to actually win the thing. So you just want to know, well, how can I be just a little bit better than the last time? Maybe it's a new set of shoes. Maybe it's a different focus. Maybe it's using the heart rate monitor on your thing to keep you in a certain zone. So, you know, like I say, speed has been one for me. I know that I can run faster than I do, but getting into some of these longer distances, once it got beyond, say, the 10Ks, I started realizing like, oh, I can't go like this forever. So I've got to learn how to meter my limited amount of energy. I mean, we're kind of just like overgrown batteries, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. We are finite in terms of what we've got to give, you know, in terms of energy out. And so, like I say, it's transferred to a lot of things in my life. I now see kind of like running and prep, you know, making sure that you've got what you need to, you know, the tools to succeed.
And I mean, you talk about diving into the data and, you know, yes, I'm the one that gives Chris so much grief for running with an Apple Watch. I don't know how it lasts for a full marathon. Like, I just don't. But that's neither here nor there. But, you know, one of the things that you and I were talking about, and we kind of had this discussion a little bit, that I kind of noted to you is, you know, it's so hard when all that data is like right there, right? And you know, my watch tells me how many steps I went, or it tells me the pace, it tells me the distance and all that stuff. And so you and I had the conversation of, you know, how do we consume this data? Because that becomes in and of itself a dangerous point where, you know, are we judging ourselves against the data? You know, do we think that this was a bad run because now I've looked at this run and it just looks terrible? It doesn't look like what it should look like. Or maybe we do get in that mindset of comparing things to folks. And so as you're looking and you're unpacking the data, you know, what does it mean for you to look at it, over time, to see maybe the shifts in things, or to notice maybe the outliers in that? You know, what are those points that you're taking from a lot of this stuff that you're consuming? And maybe even for the everyday non-data-driven runner, you know, what are some of the things that have helped you as you've been progressing in your own running journey?
So I think some of it is kind of the data doesn't ever get me personally disappointed in myself. I mean, I've had disappointing runs, but I think because at this point I've done so many of them, and like I say, you know, we all get passionate about certain things or certain activities, and so obviously we agree that running is a pretty important one for us. So I won't let the singular bad moments define me, because I know there's a body of work that says, man, overall where I am compared to say a year ago or 5 years ago, you know, it's like the stock market. I mean, there's blips in between, but I mean, the long-term trajectory says I'm doing better now than I did 1, 3, or 5 years ago. You know, there may be a couple of months and weeks here and there where, you know, something just didn't go my way, but the data, and I think for me, when I see that I'm, you know, lacking in something, I'm like, well, there's gotta be something I could work at. And again, like I was saying earlier, it's like everything else in life. You don't have to see, everything, you know, the 30,000 foot view, you know, can be, you know, quite captivating and lovely to see, you know, for example, but when you drill down on it and you're standing down here looking at it and you realize like, oh my God, that little footer was crooked. Well, you understand. And then you figure, oh, I can just fix that, you know? And so for me, it's made me realize, for example, nutrition. You know, I didn't particularly realize, you know, how important nutrition was. I mean, diet on a daily basis, yes, but like in those preps for a marathon, I had heard of carb loading, didn't know what it meant. I don't think I did that particularly well in preparation for my first marathon. But by the second marathon, you know, I took all that to heart. So again, it was just a little thing, you know, in a jar of marbles and sand and rocks, you know, it was just a little bit of it, but I mean, they all fill the jar. And so looking at things like nutrition, and then, you know, how am I going to keep myself going during the race? You know, how I did in marathon one versus marathon two, I was way more into the gels and, you know, again, read up on stuff online as to how often I should kind of refuel. And I hadn't thought of myself as being, you know, a tank. It's just like on, you know, we're furnaces. And that made, I think, a marked difference. So just even those little changes, shoes, there was one I didn't realize up until recently. I mean, I knew you needed good running shoes, and I knew running shoes don't last, you know, coming into it, I thought, well, shoes are dead when they just look dead and worn. That's not true with running shoes. But even as I've gotten, you know, more into the sport, like I say, recently I switched up some shoes, due to recommendations from somebody, and oh my God, I would have never have known had I not, you know, had I not been told, and then tried it out for myself. And so, like I say, they're all little, you know, small puzzle pieces to the bigger thing, but, there's always somewhere, you know, so I don't ever think about it like, oh, I'm never going to run, you know, a sub 5 hour marathon now in my brain. I'm like, well, I'm going to do it. I don't know what the single piece of the thing will be. Like, I can't sit here and go, oh, I'm just too slow. I don't think like that now. Now I'm like, okay. So, you know, next year, maybe I switch up my gels, or, you know, I'll take a different training program, than I did this year. I'll do some more hill work, you know, something, but I mean, I'll find little pieces that I will know that by the time I line up for the third, I will have done things. I don't know if I will have done more, but I know I will have done something differently, but I didn't just look at it like, oh, I can't. No, I just figure like, I bet if I make some changes, this could be attainable. So that's how I see the you know, the little small data points anyway.
Yeah. And so it sounds like, you know, even for the best of us, when we're looking at this journey, you know, we start at that 10,000 foot view, right? We start from the top. And, you know, okay, what is the big thing that I want to achieve? And, you know, I was just talking about it on the episode that listeners, y'all heard last week with my friend Katie, where, you know, those big goals, those are great. And as much as we can reiterate that, you know, for a lot of us, that big goal is what's going to continue to drive us forward. You know, for me, it's that sub 90 minute half marathon. Until I hit it, it's going to drive me forward. And I think for me, releasing, you know, sort of a timeline on that has kind of relieved me of feeling the pressure of like, it has to be done now. But it's just a goal that's there in the future. So I can just train. And as I'm feeling better, as I'm getting there, you know, it's closer. But then there's also sort of the micro things, you know, the 5 foot, or I guess for you, you know, the 6 foot four view that we look at, because that gets us the more nitty gritty of what's happening right now. And while those sort of micro goals are leading us in a lot of ways to those bigger goals, they're also pushing and driving us forward in the interim as we're looking towards them. And I think it's the same way, you know, like you talked about when we're looking at our run journey, you know, I can pull up my Coros data and it'll allow me to look from as small an interval as like a day to as large an interval as like a year. And so you can look and see, and I can like, so I can wake up in the morning and I can see, all right, my resting heart rate last night was 49. And then I can look back over the last month and I can see, okay, my average resting heart rate over the last month was 52. So what is that telling me? Like, is my actual resting heart rate 49? I don't know. But if I can look and see about how what I'm receiving is telling me, then I can begin to look at how I'm processing what is in front of me. And so, you know, even for folks, no matter how they're using it, you know, there's that introspective time when you're running where it's like, okay, how do I feel? Like, how do I feel right now? And if it's the beginning of the run, I probably feel like shit. It's probably what it is, right? We're men of age, right? And it's going to take us a little bit to warm up. But as we warm up, then we start to feel better. And so how that continues to play its role, not just in one run, not just over seven runs, but over an entire cycle, you know, that I think is what we continue to notice. And that's kind of what you're naming is, you know, how is what we're doing on the small level playing into what's happening at the big level, right?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. There was a thing I saw this week. I really can't remember the guy's name, but he was a runner on Instagram and I followed him, and he released a video where he was talking about, you know, how we stride. And oddly enough, I was just, you know, drilling through or milling through my data on recent runs and in my cursed Apple Watch. But there's, you know, there's some data in there about, you know, how long your foot is actually on the ground, you know, like what's your average stride and what's your ground contact time or something. I mean, of course, it measures something in fractions of a second, which you do thousands of these things over a run. And that's what, and just as luck would have it, unless of course my phone and everything is spying on everything I do, but you know, boom, up pops this video. And he's talking about just how we land our feet on the ground. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for all the years that I've been doing all these runs, I mean, everybody hears about, you know, heel strikes and so forth, but this guy was talking about, like, you know, the short version was, he says, imagine somebody standing behind you with a string attached to the rear of your shoe. Every time that you step forward, they're going to start pulling up, such that you'll come back and land on the forefoot and the midfoot. But he's like, they start pulling up. He's like, you really won't heel strike as much. And he started explaining, he's like, you know, this will reduce the amount of time that you will, you know, ground strike. He's like, you will take more steps, but you will not be striking the ground. You know, your ground strikes would get shorter, you know, because he's like, if you do, he's, but you got to imagine it. I can't tell you for how much over the last 3 or 4 days I've been running. I can't say I do it all the time, but I watch it on my watch, you know, my current pace. And when I do it for say 30 seconds, like take a conscious effort to kind of almost lean forward and literally imagine I'm some sort of overgrown marionette and that I can't really get that foot all the way through. It's crazy how the time, you know, clicks up even faster. And I'm going, oh my God. And I didn't perceive any additional exertion, which he said, you know, would be. So, you know, it's like anything else. I mean, the way we all, you know, our gait or our run or what have you, you know, we've probably all, it's habit or, you know, how we're wired. So it's, that's maybe part of the sport or craft part of this is what you're practicing to get better at. So it'll probably take me a while to get to do that, say, you know, for 3.1 miles consistently. But I've been very conscious this week, just like I said, in something, like I say, the way my foot lands. And like I say, I'm now just envisioning myself being a giant marionette and some even bigger giants behind me, like not letting me put the heel down. And it's helped this week big time. And a little data thing, who would have thought, you know, but just happened to see it milling through my phone.
Yeah. And, you know, for as much grief sometimes, I think as stuff like that gets, you know, there is a way to consume it that actually can become beneficial. And, you know, to kind of bring it back full circle to that communal element, when we're in community, it continues to be what supports us, what gets us through, and how that community feeds into what we're doing. And so whether it is, you know, just the run that you share with a friend, or the solo run that ends with you just hanging out with a friend or messaging a friend, you know, to bring those bigger points, to bring those smaller points and see how they're connecting and helping you to grow. You know, in the same way, what we're taking from these different areas of our journeys and bringing them in, you know, I continue to see as you grow and develop and what that looks like for you, you know, it works for Chris. And then there's ways that I grow, and there's ways that the rest of us grow, and it continues to live and exist within that area of how can the community help each one of us to be sort of the best version of ourselves that we can imagine possible, right? It doesn't mean, and hopefully I'm not overreaching on this comment, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Chris is ever going to break a 3-hour marathon, right?
Yeah.
It might, you know, you never know, but maybe it can still make Chris the best at who Chris can be. And, you know, friends, knowing Chris in a lot of ways, that probably really just means that Chris wants to run just a solid race where at the finish line, he doesn't feel dead so that we can have fun at the after party. I mean, and for that to be the goal, you know, what are you getting out of it? What are you putting into it? Because that's what's ultimately going to help to be the best version of you that there is. And so whatever we're consuming that comes into us is helping us to grow. And so I think the contemplation point in that is, what are we consuming? What are you consuming that's helping you? And I think looking at where your journey is, you know, you're talking about all of these different consumption points and all of these different things that are feeding into your desire, your growth, your support systems, your run club community, just being able to interact with what your body is doing and how your body feels. And so as you're moving forward, you know, what are those things that you're holding on to? You know, are you holding on to those finish line parties? Are you holding on to those goals? Are you holding on to, here's the next race, here's the marathon? What are those things that you're holding on to that are helping you to consume, to continue to grow and mature in that way?
Yeah, I think for me, it's that, you know, I see it as, it makes me look at myself a lot differently. You know, I think probably most of us as humans, we are probably our toughest critic. You know, my sister and I say sometimes, you know, we all have dark thoughts that nobody wants to actually verbalize. You know, and just thinking about yourself sometimes, you know, no matter what you maybe put out there in the world, you are, I'm sure, your toughest critic. And, you know, the reality is it's not one, how everybody sees you as an individual, but you are that, you know, you bring that own stress on yourself. And I think what the running thing has made me realize is like, you know, I could sit here and say to somebody or to anybody, you know, the problem isn't you, or the problem isn't your spouse, or, you know, your kid that the teacher tells you today is a, you know, horrible person. Those aren't the issues. You know what I mean? Like, those aren't the issues, and not any one of those single things just gets summarily fixed. It's, you know, you looking at yourself and realizing, like I say, you know, the little grains in the bottle, you know, versus the rocks or whatever, there's some little small part of it somewhere that if you improve or address, well, I shouldn't say improve, if you address, you know, you find some point of weakness, failure, pick your adjective, but you find that point, like, oh, I could just work on that. And it makes you realize that, like I say, it's not so big as just trying to, you know, revamp your entire self, your entire life. There's some little small part somewhere that you can find and then that mm-hmm. you can address. And that makes it so much more digestible. And again, you know, alone with your own thoughts, and you might go, oh my God, I'm a failure, for example. Well, no, you're not, you know, but whatever it is that's dogging you, trust that it won't be like you're going to find out, oh, well, there's the light switch over there. I'll just turn it off and the failure went away. No, it's still there. But and you feel that for some reason, but you can find some small part that it will have a tweak and it will have a downstream effect. And then, you know, as you see those improvements, you know, manifest, you're like, oh, well, I wonder what else I could do. And before you know it, you know, little by little, you see those big changes. And that's what I feel like I've gotten out of, you know, this community and this life. You know, it's changed every other aspect of my life immeasurably and positively.
And I think that's the push, right? That's where the ultimate hope is that what happens here in this space, it helps, it pushes, it becomes something that drives us forward. And so when we think about the communal spirit of running, it is, how are we playing into that role? And so what can I do to help lift and boost the confidences of those around me? What am I receiving from community to help me do all of this and to continue to make it go forward? So, you know, I'd love to hit these end of podcast questions. Let's kind of see what Chris has to say about some of these things. Okay. So Chris, what is your favorite distance to run?
I would probably have to say the half marathon. I've done three, you know, comp three, you know, organized runs. And then because of that cursed Apple Watch, I think it was Strava in May. May was like, hey, do you think you can run a half marathon? And I'm like, yes, you know, so I did it. And you know, did it out here on the local run trail. And like I said, that was a moment for me. I was like, I can't believe for some silly digital badge, like I can't even hang that on a metal rack, you know, but it was like, you know, there's that part of you. I don't know if it's my inner teenager, but it's like, you won't. And I just thought, well, no, I've got to. So, you know, I went and ran, you know, 13.1 miles one day and it took a couple days to get to. We had an issue with the car and everything else, but you know, but it had to happen, and it had to happen. I think maybe it was May. It had to happen before the end of May. So I think at this point now I've done four individual half marathons. We have a couple more signed up for this year. And you know, like I said, now we travel to get to some of them. You know, we went to Asheville last weekend to run one that was supposed to be mostly all downhill. And it, you know, I said to everybody I was with, I was like, we actually traveled. We paid more money to come run. And you know, like, yeah, we're all crazy. But it was that half marathon distance, and you know, it was great. You know, like I say, it left me at the end. I felt completely charged and ready for the rest of the day, and we went out and had a great weekend afterwards.
Nice. Yeah, I remember during the pandemic. Oh gosh, I think it was 2020 because I had already moved down here. And I was doing the virtual Richmond half. And I started it and I was just like, oh, I'm just gonna do the 13.1 miles and get the trophy. And all of a sudden I get to like mile two and three, and I'm like, oh, I actually feel pretty decent. Maybe we can see what we can do. And I keep running and all of a sudden I'm just getting like faster and faster and faster. And then I end up breaking like my half marathon PR by like 6 minutes. And thinking to myself, I'm like, I did that without a start finish line. Nobody timed me. Yeah. All I have is the watch data.
Yep.
Is it even official?
Did it even happen? Yep, exactly.
Did it even? And now it's on Strava, so it happened. But like, still, no. But I love that because it's I love the half because it definitely is. It's one of those distances where you could just like really prove fitness, but also just have a great time.
Yeah.
So Chris, for sure. What is your favorite post-run food, snack, meal? We know your favorite beverage is wine, but what is going with that wine?
Yeah. Well, so that's the other thing. You know, they don't ever give out wine at these races. I do think there's one in France though, where there is like you run through wine country. So that might be on my list one day, and we'll see if that adjusts.
So quick hit, uncorked half. It is at a winery in New Kent, here in Virginia.
Yes. Then yes, I will look into it. I believe it was at Shamrock was one of the first ones. I always gobble up whatever fruit they'll give us just because, you know, I know, especially after the long runs, you got to put something in there. I think it was at Shamrock this year. Somebody was giving out Uncrustables. I have to admit, I don't think I've had a finer meal in my life than after finishing that marathon than I had with the Uncrustables. So, like, it has a special place in my heart right now. And then, of course, you know, the beer. You know, there's invariably beer at all these events. You know, I guess around here it's usually Yingling or something. But yeah, I mean, cold beer after a long run like that is awesome. So yeah, Uncrustables and beer for sure.
You sound like a college student.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it ain't broke, you know, it works.
PB&J and a not cheap lager, right?
Exactly. Oh yeah, a happy place for sure.
All right, and last question, Chris. Give our listeners a reason to find and join their local run club.
Oh man, I mean, like I say, it's one of those things that you realize you're never alone. You might spend the other 6 days of the week or whatever that your group doesn't meet, but to get out there and like I say, realize that there's no amount of Google or no amount of internet research that will ever supplant what it's like to get out and connect with like-minded people. And like I say, and that's where it really ends, like-minded. In your group, you'll invariably, like I say, have marathon competitors and walkers. But I mean, everybody has the same objective, getting from start to finish. And there is so much to be gleaned from hearing it directly from the source. It's much more organic. I mean, as cliched as that word is, maybe. But you know, there's just something about, like I say, you know, hearing somebody tell you, but also seeing it, you know, and then seeing the looks on their faces. And like I say, the ones that are absolute, you know, hits out of the park, and the ones that are, you know, sometimes maybe like crushing defeat. We've all had it. But you know, to be able to commiserate with people that have similar experiences, highs and lows, is irreplaceable and can't be replicated anywhere else.
You know, I love that question just because, like, if it doesn't get you going, then there's something going on. As we enter community, as we're in community together, there's just something that continues to draw us together. Now, I do have to say, we're recording this on Thursday, the 13th. I am very upset at Chris for missing Run Club this last week. And so Chris always gives the best sweaty hugs. So Chris, a virtual sweaty hug as we hop off this conversation. Thank you so much for coming and joining.
Thank you so much for having me. And I will be sure to get my sweaty hug in next Tuesday. For sure. For sure. Okay. It's not Tuesday if I don't have a sweaty hug. So.
I really enjoyed that conversation with Chris. What an awesome perspective he brings to the running community as we all build, as we all grow, as we are all on this journey. I just loved hearing that perspective so much. As someone who is not necessarily new, but is coming into the running space with not as much experience as others, and yet bringing his own perspective into it and how he has grown, how he has seen the opportunity to continue to do things is just awesome and amazing. So Chris, again, thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure you'll leave a nice little Spotify review on this episode. So cannot wait to read that. And you know, while we are talking about that, I would love for you to support this podcast. You know, head on over to Apple Podcasts, head on over to Spotify if you're already in one of those apps. Leave a rating and review, just like Chris. I'm so thankful for that he is always there plugging and helping to build this podcast, build this brand, and support in that way. And so head on over to Apple Podcasts, to Spotify, rate, review. You know, make sure you're following and subscribing to this podcast. That way all of these new episodes just automatically appear in your feed. And you know, you can also support the podcast over on Buy Me a Coffee. Help out and support. Make sure that the lights stay on, so to say. And so you can head on over to buymeacoffee.com/runninrev and help to support. You can leave a one-time tip. If you just really loved Chris and everything that he talked about in this episode, leave a tip for this episode. Or you can become a recurring monthly donor by leaving a tip, a donation of any amount each month, as I continue to grow this network, continue to grow this podcast, continue to grow this run club. Make sure you head on over to runandrev.substack.com and subscribe over there. Getting some newsletters, getting some articles, getting some writings, hopefully out soon-ish, and begin to
build that up as we all are on this journey together. And just, I would love it if you would just share this podcast, share other things happening in the Run and Rev Run Club as we all learn and grow on the run together. Remember, make every mile count.